Okay, we're now back on the record in the CPS deal for the Wood Springs Suites Hotel just after our mid-morning break. It's about 10:15. I think we were turning to the county. So, Mr. Walker, I believe you were going to call Jeff Smith. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you. The county formally calls Jeff Smith of DCD to the stand.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Smith. If you could state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Jeff Smith.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith, what is your occupation and position?
I'm a senior land use planner with Kitsap County.
And how long have you been employed with Kitsap County?
35 years.
Has all of that employment been with DCD?
Yes.
For what period of that time were you a senior land use planner?
I would say for 34 years, or excuse me, 33 years.
What are your duties as a senior land use planner, briefly?
I review commercial and residential development, includes subdivisions, performance-based developments, and also review projects involving critical areas, shoreline habitat, wetlands, geologic hazard areas, etc.
Is everyone able to hear? Okay, nodding heads. Mr. Smith, are you a SEPA official?
No, I'm not a SEPA official.
Are you authorized to sign findings and ruling, not rulings, but SEPA-related documents on behalf of a SEPA official?
Yes, I am.
And for the record, who is presently the county's SEPA official or officials?
It would be Scott Diener.
So, if we saw Mr. Diener's name on some of the paperwork relating to the project at hand, you would that would be because he is the named SEPA official.
That's correct.
What is your, or I guess I'll say, how did you first become familiar with the project that's the subject of this appeal, the Wood Spring Suites Hotel project?
Well, I was assigned this project as far as doing the land use and environmental review for the site development activity permit, which is a type 2 permit under Title 21 of the Kitsap County Code, and issued a notice of application. And we used the optional DNS process under 3670B.
I'd like to bring up F18, please.
Should see it on your screen momentarily.
I'd like you to identify this document or confirm that this is a notice of application that was involved with the CEFR review that was asked of you.
Yes, that is the document.
Did you generate this?
Yes, I did.
And
With Mr. Hankins.
Mr. Hankins.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the project lead.
Okay. And who is he?
He's an engineer that works for the Department of Community Development.
Then I will ask that we see F32, please. Now displayed is F32. Can you identify this document, please?
This is the SEPA checklist for Wood Springs, and this was reviewed by staff and incorporates comments based on statements made by the applicant this to determine if they're appropriate and consistent with general information in the record.
And at this moment, I'm not going to go through it, but is it a fair summation that this document sets out the various aspects of review that are conducted by the county when they receive this site of this sort of an application?
Yes, that's correct. That is what we do.
And that this document is typical or of that kind of that customary review.
Yes, that is typical.
Okay, so. In this, and please ask to see specific parts of this document if it will assist you. Could you give us kind of a summary of the review process that you undertook for this SEPA application, and just to go through the different elements that were reviewed, and your specific process, because I know that you were part of a team that conducted this review.
Well, just to put a little background, I reviewed this project when Mr. Rucker was the applicant back in 2005. I believe this went to hearing in 2004, but I reviewed the site development activity permit for this particular project. Reviewed the and I had some familiarity with this project site, and so that was my background for is reviewing this SEPA checklist to see what if there's impacts to the natural environment, are there impacts to the man-made environment, going through the elements that are laid out in the SEPA checklist, which is prescribed by the Department of Ecology as far as the standard SEPA checklist. However, this has been amended to include easy access for making comments.
And were you part of a staff report process that took place back in 2005 for that review that you just identified?
Yes, I was involved with that then. Also, Joanne Vidnhart took this to hearing back in 2004, I believe, and she present this to the hearing examiner.
For the record, Exhibit C50 is identified as a staff report dated April 7th, 2005, which pertained to the Highland Business Park. I would offer C50 into the record.
Any objection to entry of C50?
None here.
Okay, all right. Exhibit C50 is admitted.
I may have additional documents from that era to offer it before the very end of this hearing, but I will save everybody the process of going through them one by one. I wanted to just pick at that one for the moment. All right, so Mr. Smith, you had some I'll say institutional knowledge based on your work in 2005. You said on the SDAP at that time.
Yes.
Were you involved also with the 2005 land use review that was conducted?
Yes, I discussed this project frequently with Joanne Bidnar, laying out, discussing some of the components of the project.
And did that 2005 land use review result in the issuance of any type of a SEPA finding or outcome, I will say, from the county?
Yes, the representative for the SEPA official did the issue at DNS.
I would ask to display B as in boy, 14. All right, so on the screen, we now see a document entitled Determination of Non-Significance for the Record. It is one page in length. Do you recognize the author or signature on this document?
Yes, that is Mr. David Greatham, and he was representative for the SEPA official.
And is this, in fact, a determination of non-significance issued for the 2005 land use review or I'll say SEPA review for the overall Highland Business Park project?
Yes, this involved the overall Highland Business Park that includes these lots that are under question today.
And in a sentence or two, why did the county issue a determination of non-significance?
Because the all the project impacts were addressed, there were no environmental concerns with this project site. The SEPA representative determined that the mitigation, additional mitigation, was not required based on the information they had.
I'd ask next to look at B12, please. And I will represent to the group that this is a 20-page document that is entitled Highland Business Park SEPA Environmental Checklist. Are you familiar with this document from your experience or your role in the 2005 reviews?
Yes, I am. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm familiar with it.
And was this the environmental checklist for the that ultimately was, say, part of the foundation or part of the reasoning for the county issuing its DNS that we previously looked at, which is B14.
Yes, this provides a foundation for the SEPA determination.
So now coming to present day, I'm going to ask you to describe the process that you went through. But before I do that, I'm going to ask to display F29, which is the revised determination of non-significance. And I know you've got a copy on your table with you for possible reference.
Yes.
Okay.
Because Kitsap County uses the optional DNS process, it's outlined in 3670B of the RCW and lays out for us providing access or excuse me public notice and providing the intention of the county to issue the determination. The staff reviews the SEPA checklist to see if the SEPA checklist was adequate and the elements outlined in the man-made and a natural environment. And part of the process too is to look at what was approved in the previous land use approval related to building and lot layout and access, setbacks, of course, off-street parking. Looking at what was brought up was looking at vehicular and pedestrian conflicts that is outlined in 17420 030 in design standards, which we condition projects. It was reviewed the SEPA checklist, and it was determined that the additional information was needed to complete the environmental review and make a determination.
Excuse me, I'll interrupt you. There was an information request that was dated July 18th, 2025. Is that something you're referring to here?
That is correct.
I'll ask to display F21.
So staff did request that additional information be included, and also address issues related to the reciprocal parking agreement that was reviewed in 2005. And that information was submitted by the applicant as far as the easement, so to speak, and as far as how that was going to function, and as far as providing access across the adjacent lots.
So there's been reference by at least a couple of the witnesses to a set of CCNRs that are part of the record now. And the CCNRs address a number of, obviously they pertain to each of the business park parcels. And there's been some discussion about the county's acceptance of the CCNRs. Did you review the CCNRs that I'm talking about here?
Yes, I did.
And did you have specific questions of the applicant relating to the CCNRs and the issues of access?
Yeah, it was one of the back up here. One of the elements of reviewing this project was to provide public notice to the surrounding property owners. And there was a lot of concern from the adjacent property owners, and staff has to listen to what they're saying and what comments they're providing. And that's detailed in the revised determination of non-significance. Far as the comments, it's a summation of comments that we received. And there was some concern about the easement and how access can be provided across adjacent parcels. And based on my review of the CCNRs or recorded easement, that was sufficient based on what the information they provided us. Because this is a requirement that was discussed with Mr. Rucker when he was the applicant under the site development activity permit, based on if there was going to be shared parking arrangement, that there'd be some kind of reciprocal parking agreement among the property owners.
And if we were to look in the older county records from 2005, which have been marked in the C series of exhibits for this, we'd find his name any number of times, right?
That's correct.
So we made those available and marked them so that if there were questions, that those could be raised by the other parties during this process. My intention is not to walk you through all of that, obviously. But for purposes of the current or of the SEPA determination, could you? I've gone a little bit scattered, so I'd ask you to kind of walk us through your full process that you engaged in. And then, as you do, explain how the different other actors participated in the review in terms of
Okay.
other county departments or agents.
Yes. So the CEPA review is more holistic. It includes review by multiple parties or agencies, includes the fire marshal, includes engineering. There are some outside agencies, i.e., the Kitsap Public Health District, which they don't normally have comments on commercial projects. Also includes Public Works. They are review the site plan and as far as the general site layout, and they look at the external impacts on adjacent intersections. The through that review process and coordinating with Mr. Hankins, we determined as far as if all issues have been addressed based on stormwater impacts, if they are addressing water quantity and quality, to his concerns, is there fire apparatus access? And if there's, and like I said earlier, is we incorporate the comments from the adjacent neighbors. Based on that analysis, civil plan analysis, we can make it a determination. However, I think there's a comment that was incorrect because it says that I made the SEPA determination before the parking analysis was received. So HBL, they submitted their parking analysis March 2nd, 2026. And I, as far as staff, issued a SEPA determination March 9th, 2026. I don't know, I didn't hear the testimony by the traffic impact or traffic engineer, but that's how that worked. And it's because there weren't any impacts identified with this project outright, there wasn't that didn't require a mitigated determination non-significance, requiring mitigation, project mitigation, as far as mitigating and project impacts.
And is that how, is that why you came up with and issued a revised determination of non-significance?
Yes, because this project is, let's say, two-thirds of the way or built out, and a lot of the hardscape has been established. This is a just one specific pad within the in the development. It did not make sense to just issue a DNS just on that parcel, because the DNS incorporates other parcels within this project. That's how the project was approved.
There had been some discussion, or at least one or two questions, concerning the matter of adoption of or incorporation by reference to previous SEPA-related documents. Can you describe what your process did for arriving at the revised determination of non-significance?
What the process staff tried to do is to incorporate the background information as far as what the hearing examiner approved, and then how the applicant was their proposal and how their proposal was different relating to square footage, or like it was approved for a 17,500 square foot high intensity retail store. And this was going to be a much, it would be a lower intensity use. However, that was based on shared parking. But that was all reviewed, and as far as what was approved and where the project was going based on the current proposal, as far as making the determination, and also incorporated the comments by the neighbors. That was part of that process to make the determination of non-significance.
I want to have Madam Clerk bring up Exhibit F30, please. Please. And zoom in as best you can. Are you familiar with this site drawing?
Yes.
And yeah, a little bit net lower, please. Yeah, I'm sorry. Right, go to the top
Oh,
of the
sorry.
drawing. Yes, perfect. Thank you. And this is a site drawing that was supplied to you by, I believe, AHBL was its creator. Was this part of the materials that was that you were provided with during your SEPA review?
Yes, that was
Okay.
included in the SEPA review.
This appeal has raised questions relating to parking, circulation, and traffic generally. And as you know, the hotel property would ultimately have 110 spaces, and the hotel would itself have 122 guest units. You're familiar with those figures, right?
Yes, I am.
Now, I'd like you to speak to your review of the questions of the adequacy of those 110 spaces, and then I'll turn to circulation and the traffic issues.
Well, based on far as 17,490,030, it lays out as far as what's required for off-street parking for hotels, and one space per room. The applicant did request a 10% reduction as far as the number of spaces. That is granted through the same section. It's based on the ability to provide transit, and the ITE manual also sometimes is a element as far as review. But based on the reduction, there was not a reason to deny the request for the reduction.
That's been previous testimony has explained that the hotel project does not include a restaurant, does not include meeting rooms. Were those considerations for your approval of the request for reduced parking capacity?
Yeah, the analysis was strictly based on the hotel use.
And in Kitsap County, the county code does not split out types of hotels. There's simply a hotel use that's covers all hotel scenarios, if you will.
Yes, there's a few times where we had to go in and look at the restaurant use and associate the hotel, and then look at the off-street parking.
And did the county perform any kind of review of the question of circulation, of vehicles within the property and potentially with between the different lots or parcels within the overall business park?
Yes, staff did provide or did partake in some analysis of traffic circulation through this site. And there's as one of the exhibits, as far as the return comments, there were some concerns that there were some potential pedestrian vehicular impacts, and that the applicant was requested to provide further background on how that was going to be, that was not an issue based on their project design.
For a moment, did fire, let me rephrase, excuse me. Did the fire marshal or their staff perform a review that was part of your consideration for the SEPA analysis?
Yes, I spoke with the deputy fire marshal several times about this project and about how the project had apparatus access from, and could there was there adequate access around the building for firemen to provide 150 feet around the building, and they said that it meets the fire code.
And then I want to ask you a bit about the traffic analysis. Now, Mr. Hankins discussed that when he was testifying, but I would like to just have you verify what you had in hand in terms of the applicant's submittals for relating to traffic analysis at the time of your SEPA decision.
Well, based on as far as the off-street parking and vehicle movement that was related items to the traffic impact analysis, that analysis didn't at that time did not provide the necessary documentation.
Okay, can you then elaborate on what you were provided that ultimately allowed you to make a SEPA determination?
Well, based on what was in the traffic impact analysis, in concert with what the applicant submitted in their revised parking analysis, staff believe that the impacts could be addressed through the code and would not impact adjacent property owners at a SEPA level of review.
Were you aware of specific concerns voiced by specific property owners who were either neighboring to, whose properties were either neighboring to or very close to the hotel site?
Yes, I was staff was really concerned about what they were commenting on. I've met with the neighbors several times to discuss what their concerns were. And that was something I needed to take into consideration.
And can you speak to specific concerns? I'm going to ask you about Kitsap Credit Union.
Yeah, Kitsap Credit Union, they were concerned about the impacts to their drive-through banking facility there on the side of the building, and also the vehicular circulation through their parking lot around and to the back parking lot.
And by that, do you mean a stretch of pavement that went around the north side of the bank building, and
Yes.
then connect, allow a user to connect into the west parking lot of the hotel property?
Yes, and I was also staff was concerned about the pedestrian circulation as well, as far as along that same general area.
And can you speak to that specific question of pedestrian safety and how and whether that
Oh,
was addressed?
yeah. So it's important to always address pedestrians and how they interact or avoid vehicle circulation. It's important to look at pedestrian safety at all times. Their proposal eventually laid out the pedestrian access and how it was going to be separated and function around the building and avoid the vehicular access to the drive-through.
I'm sorry loop back to this, but I want to ask you about the question of public transit that would be or that is available to the hotel property.
Yes, based on the parking code 17490030, that section about parking reduction, one of the elements is a transit facility available. Well, yes, the Ridgetop Boulevard includes a transit line, as well as just across from the St. Michael's Hospital, there's a big transit center that was recently completed about 2 to 3 years ago. So that provides a transit hub to Kitsap County.
Is that hospital within a half mile of the hotel property?
Yes, definitely.
And does the transit line connect the hotel property or or at least the a stop or stops along Ridgetop with the St. Michael's facility.
Yes, there's multiple stopping points there.
Did the county's decision reflect the type of guests that were expected at this hotel?
Yes, based on the knowledge I had, was that this is going to, and I've had discussions with other folks through time that there was a need for extended leave or excuse me, extended hotel lodging for nursing at the hospital. And based on the project description, it sounded like this was what the overall goal was of the applicant, to provide that kind of housing for nursing or other professionals in the area.
And then can you explain how that factored into the county's decision to issue the revised DNS?
Based on the extended stay, it was, in our opinion, is that there wasn't going to be a high turnover rate based on the and create a significant amount of parking demand and vehicular trips to and from the site. That the DNS would still be warranted for this particular site.
There's been testimony about hotel guests all visiting the west, excuse me, the eastern side of the hotel in order to check into their rooms. And I think that may be tied to what you're saying about long-term guests, meaning there'd be less of a traffic issue with respect to a check-in
Yes.
traffic. Or check-in guests. Is
Yes,
that part of what you're describing here?
yeah, that's what I'm describing.
Just a moment, please. Mr. Smith, I'm close to wrapping up. Are there any other specific factors that you considered in arriving at a determination or at the revised determination of non-significance that is subject of this appeal?
No, I don't believe there's additional comments, unless I need to elaborate further about the what was approved through the original DNS and what was approved with the revised DNS of the project site.
Well, let me ask you just a little bit more about some history, if you will. At the time of the original DNS in 2004 or 5, I noticed it was a very brief document.
Yes.
And was that the custom of the county at that time? It was a one-pager.
Yes, that was a customary of the bars the determinations, yes.
And in terms of the kind of the almost the DCD's culture at the time, did that very, very brief DNS document incorporate other documents or reflect other documents that were considered as part of the SEPA review?
Yes, that would be include. They incorporated through the process as far as sub-area plans and any kind of other zoning codes and policies and in the comprehensive plan at that time.
Okay. If I was looking at it for the first time, I would be struck by the fact that it's very brief.
Yes.
And I guess the hearing examiner decision is already a part of the record. And obviously, the hearing examiner would be reviewing that as well as the SEPA checklist and other associated documents with that, right?
Right, because the back then, even now, the SEPA determination is made prior to the hearing examiner's review and issuing a decision.
Okay, those are all my questions for Mr. Smith. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Walker. I guess if I have a question, if there's a further what you would refer to, I guess, as direct. So I turn to Mr. Cartman, I guess, before we go to cross-examination.
I am just looking at my notes. I don't think I need to ask any questions. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we'll turn to cross-examination then.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Smith. My name's Duncan Green. I'm one of the attorneys representing the primary appellants in this case.
Good morning.
I'd like to start by talking about the revised DNS that you've been discussing with Mr. Wachter. And if the clerk would please pull up Exhibit F29 on the screen, that would be helpful.
One moment. You should see it on your screen momentarily.
Thank you. So, if you could scroll down just a little bit, that's perfect. So, again, Mr. Smith, this is the March 9th, 2026 threshold determination that you signed.
That's correct.
And did you review and approve it before you signed it? I
Yes.
want to direct your attention to the bottom of page one here. Let us know if we should enlarge it under comments. Do you see where it states that the department reviewed the parking demand?
Yes.
Did you personally perform that review of parking demand?
Yes, I did.
And what written analysis reflected your review of parking demand?
Well, since it is a site dwell activity permit, didn't require written analysis per se, like a land use decision. There might be conditions and acceptance letter. However, that wasn't warranted in this particular case.
Understood. Do you see where it also states that DCD reviewed concerns involving the KCU drive-through and access to the Western hotel parking?
Yes, I believe I can see it.
And do you see where it states that Kitsap County relied on the applicant's assurances regarding legal access?
Yes,
Okay,
based
thank you.
on the documentation that was submitted, based on our request, that they submitted documentation that appeared to be correct or legitimate to meet that. There was no opposing documentation to that.
Thank you. And we'll come back to both of those subjects. But for now, I want to shift to the 2005 hearing examiner decision, which is, I believe it's Exhibit F53. I also want to just a procedural note. It looks like the document was also included in the county's record as C46. Based on my review, the two documents appear identical, except that apparently the original decision was mailed out without a copy of page five, and then it was mailed again. Unless there are objections, I thought it would be helpful to just offer C46 into the record just in case there are any differences between the two. They appear identical.
Any objection to that?
No objection.
Okay, so it'll be C, I'm sorry, C46.
C46 is what I'm offering,
Okay.
but for purposes of these questions, I think we've got F53 pulled up now, perhaps.
Okay, well, C46 is admitted.
Thank you. So, Mr. Smith, did you review this decision in when you were evaluating the current project?
Yeah, I reviewed it generally, yes.
Is it accurate that the approved development in 2005 included a bank, retail building, two office buildings, and a restaurant?
That's correct.
And no hotel?
No, it did not include a hotel.
And the building that was originally approved on the current WoodSpring parcel was a one-story retail building?
Yes, it was.
And the current proposal is instead a four-story building, approximately 48,600 square feet, 122-room hotel. Is that right?
That's correct. We look at the retail use as a higher intensity use than the hotel use, per se.
Thank you. If the clerk could scroll down just a few pages, I want to look at condition 39 of this decision. And
Okay, it might be a few, so if you get motion sick, maybe close your eyes.
thank you for the warning. Yeah, it's obviously toward the end there. Past the conclusions. I'm sorry, I didn't have the page number handy.
Too far. One second.
Yeah, just up just a bit. There we
Right
go.
there. Oop.
30, down a bit.
35.
Yeah, it's on condition 39 is the one I'm looking at right now. I'll give you a moment to read that, and I'll just, I guess, for the benefit of everyone, I'll read it out loud. The SDAP submittal shall include the internal connectivity plans for safe pedestrian access between the buildings. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate. That's a standard requirement that we review against.
And did DCD evaluate the current SDAP for compliance with that condition?
Based on requests for additional information, we did receive what we needed to make that determination.
And are you referring to the documents that you reviewed in response to the information request?
Yes,
Okay,
that came later.
thank you. Scrolling down just to the next page, which will be page 17. I want to stop it right there, condition 44, and I'll just draw your attention to the language stating that the uses of the property are limited to those proposed on the specific site plan and the SEPA checklist.
Yes, and that's what occurred with the new SEPA checklist, and even though it w went through a site level activity permit, we did do a review of the land use component of the hotel.
And do you see the language stating that any other uses are subject to further review under appropriate county ordinances?
Yes, and that's what occurred.
So your position is that the SEPA review, or maybe I'll ask you, are you saying the SEPA review satisfied that requirement, or the SDAP review satisfied that requirement?
The SDAP, and then as far as how the SDAP was completed, address SEPA.
And then scrolling down just a bit more on the same page, condition 46 states that the 2005 decision was based on the plans and representations submitted in that proceeding, and goes on to say that any substantial changes or deviations from those proposed plans or proposals shall be subject to the approval of the hearing examiner. Do you see that language?
Yes.
And do you see where it's, is it accurate that it also says, substantial changes or deviations may require further and additional hearings?
Yes, but however, that was then, and this is now, and this is a permitted use within the regional commercial zone. So we would not institute that kind of that requirement. However, it still would require land use review.
And why would you not institute that condition?
Because based on our code and the use table, that would be an onerous type process and would not be appropriate.
Have any of these conditions been modified or vacated through any county proceeding?
No.
Like to turn to Exhibit C50, which is the April 2005 staff report you discussed earlier. So, at a high level, this staff report was the county's staff analysis underlying the 2005 hearing examiner proceedings. Is that right?
Yes, it was what was a recommendation to the hearing examiner.
And you testified that you were personally involved in preparing the staff report.
I did not prepare it, but I was working with the planner on that.
Understood.
We shared an office.
And is it accurate to say that the staff report identifies the January 2005 site plan and the SEPA checklist as documents that were used in the county's analysis?
Yes.
The clerk would scroll down to page 7. If we could zoom in just a little bit. I want to make sure I put my finger on. There we go. If you can pause there, I want to draw your attention to item E. Do you see where the staff report states that the applicable criteria required pedestrian access throughout the site to, quote, minimize potential conflicts between pedestrian and vehicular circulation?
Yes. And
And
based on the project design that was incorporated into the current project.
okay, and we'll come back to that topic. Thank you. Do you see where it states that the applicant would continue to pursue the internal circulation plans as part of the SDAP process?
Yeah, that's correct. That still continues to be a component.
And when we talked about condition 39 earlier, stating that the SDAP submittal shall include the internal connectivity plans for safe pedestrian access, is it accurate that condition 39 carried that requirement into the final hearing examiner decision?
Yes.
Let's see.
So the issue is the issue of street parking and vehicular movement or pedestrian circulation. Is that as far as the nexus or your question?
I'm sorry,
I
what
was
was that?
wondering what your question is. Are you addressing pedestrian circulation? Are you addressing vehicular access? What's the next?
Well, I will have questions about both of those topics.
Okay.
And I believe can't remember if this exhibit was previously admitted. I'd like to have moved to admit it now to the extent it wasn't previously admitted.
I think it was, this is C50,
C
is that correct?
C50. I believe it was, but I just wanted to
Yeah,
make
no, it
sure.
was admitted. Yep.
Thank you. So just a couple of follow-up questions about the 2005 SEPA checklist. We don't have to pull it up, but for everyone's reference, I believe that was Exhibit B12. Mr. Smith, you testified that the 2005
I'm sorry, what
checklist,
you said, which you said C12?
B12
B12.
is the,
Okay, thank
yes, the
you.
2005 SEPA checklist.
Yep.
Mr. Smith, you testified that the 2005 checklist was the foundation for the 2025 DNS?
Yes.
And I believe you also testified that it had been a while since you saw the 2005 document. How long?
It's probably been, I can tell you for how long it's been, because one of the things that we're doing is we transferred at 2012 from paper to electronics, and some of that stuff was migrated and some was not.
So is it
So,
fair to say you didn't review it as part of your work on this WoodSpring project?
no, I looked at it.
But you don't remember when that would have been?
Yeah.
Okay. If the clerk would please pull up Exhibit F47, which includes the county's permit notes. And it's an exhibit to this appeal document. So if we can go to the end of
Oh, okay. I was
the
like, this
appeal
does not
text.
look like the okay.
Yes, it throws me off every time I pull it up. And I believe it's the very first exhibit we come to after the text of the appeal document. So this is where we should be. And if we, I just want to scroll to the note on February 27th, 2026, which should be a page or two down from here. Maybe a few. February 27th. That's perfect. Can we zoom in on that text next to February 27th? Mr. Smith, is this a note that you added to the county's notes system?
Yes, it is.
You wrote the project is a change in use from the previous approval from 17,600 square foot retail sales with 110 parking spaces to 122 room, 48,600 square foot hotel. Is that correct?
Yes.
And does it go on to say the 2005 hearing examiner decision included specific uses and project layout?
Yes.
You didn't subsequently enter any permit file note withdrawing either of those statements, did you?
No, because it's the purpose of that note is just to provide a background for if there's a need for future reviewers, so they can know what the permit's all about.
And you, DCD didn't require the applicant to file any application, identifying the hotel as an amendment to the 2005 hearing examiner approval, did it?
No.
And did DCD issue any written determination classifying the hotel project as either a minor amendment or a major amendment?
No. It was addressed through the SEPA determination.
Through the SEPA determination, okay. Did DCD issue any written determination addressing whether the change from the approved retail building to the hotel building would have constituted a substantial change or deviation under condition 46?
No.
Fair to say there was also no written determination addressing whether any particular further review was required under condition 44.
I don't have 40 those conditions in front of me.
Well, I'll strike the part about condition 44. Did DCD issue any written determination addressing whether a particular type of further review was required?
This is a permitted use, and it's reviewed through a civil engineering site plan process. So that determination would not be necessary at this point, how I see it.
And you just testified that the SEPA review, at least to some extent, addressed the question of whether an amendment was required. Is that
No,
correct?
I did not. I said that the change in use
The change in use,
Yeah,
understood.
that's different.
Does the DNS state that DCD was conducting review under the 2005 hearing examiner decision?
That was the intent.
That was the intent. Let's turn to Exhibit F12. If the clerk would please pull that up and scroll down to page 16. And while we're pulling it up, Mr. Smith, you reviewed the applicant SEPA checklist, correct?
Yep. What exhibit is that that you saw? We can present that exhibit that where I reviewed the SEPA checklist.
Thank you. Look at this one for now. We were just there. I think it's I'm looking for the statement. I believe it's on page 16 that the project will have 110 parking stalls with shared parking on adjacent commercial properties. There it is. Do you see that statement that the project will have 110 parking stalls with shared parking with adjacent commercial properties within the business park?
That is, yes, I can see that.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to confirm that. And we don't need to pull up this exhibit, but the staff reviewed SEPA checklist that you discussed with Mr. Wachter was exhibit F32. And you is it did you testify that you personally participated in that review?
Yes.
And do you know what on what date DCD completed its review of the SEPA checklist.
I don't have F32.
Okay, why don't we pull that up? Clerk could turn to exhibit F32.
Oh.
Just let me know which page you'd like to look at.
Thank you. I'm scrolling through on my
Yeah,
copy.
I normally put a date on it, but for some reason I didn't do that. But it was prior to issuing this, the determination.
And it looks like in the index, there's a date of March 23rd. Would it surprise you if that were the date you completed the review?
No. Because this was digitized or scanned and sent to the clerk to the hearing examiner after review.
Thank you. Now let's pull up exhibit F47, which again I believe is the staff F47,
F47.
and yeah, it's the appeal document that we looked at earlier that had the staff notes at the
Right.
end. I'm sorry for all the scrolling here. And I want to scroll to May 2nd, 2025. There's a note indicating that the west parking lot had limited access. So, Mr. Smith, looking at this text, is it accurate to say you identified a concern about use of a narrow access adjacent to KCU's drive-through?
Yes, I was unsure how the circulation and how that was going to operate.
If we could now pull up exhibit F21, which is DCD's information request.
So that just a note that was in 2025. approximately a year earlier.
You're referring to the note about
Yes.
circulation that we just reviewed?
Yes.
Understood. And so we could zoom in a little bit to the requested information section in the middle that starts the department has received public comments. Do you see where DCD required an enlarged view of vehicle and pedestrian access behind the hotel and KCU?
Yes.
And DCD required the applicant to demonstrate there are no pedestrian and vehicle conflicts,
Yes.
and that the driveway was sufficient to handle the volume of traffic to the rear parking area.
Based on what I understood at that point in time, yes.
Why did DCD require a demonstration instead of just asking that the route be shown on a plan?
Well, that's just the same terminology, just stated differently.
So you believe that the showing it on a plan is the same thing as a demonstration?
Yeah.
Let's turn to Exhibit F20, which is the applicant's access exhibit. So, is it true that this exhibit depicts circulation geometry for vehicles and pedestrians?
Generally.
Does it quantify the number of vehicles expected to travel to the western parking lot?
No, based on this diagram, it's very general site plan.
Does it contain any quantitative analysis at all?
No.
And does it
But
analyze? Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
I think we were looking at another one where it did show the pedestrian and the vehicular access to the back with different colors. I can't remember.
Understood. I'm focused on this document in
All
this time
right.
period right
Okay.
now. And did this document analyze conflicts between hotel vehicles and KCU drive-through vehicles?
No, it was not clear. It did show some information as far as separated walkways and the one of the one method to get access off of Ridgetop Boulevard.
Did you personally perform any quantitative analysis or operational analysis of traffic circulation to the western parking field with 74 spaces?
No, that's up to their engineer to quantify.
So no one at DCD performed that kind of analysis. Is that correct?
Unless Mr. Hankins did that, I'm not familiar with.
Did you hear his testimony yesterday indicating that he did not perform any of that kind of analysis?
No, I did not hear that.
Okay, I'm going to shift to the parking reduction. If the clerk would please pull up Exhibit F28, which is the applicant's parking memorandum dated March 2nd. And so in this document, is it accurate that the applicant requested a 10% reduction from the 122 spaces that would normally be required?
Yes.
Who at DCD actually approved that reduction? Was that you or someone else?
No, it's me.
And what evidence supported the conclusion that the ordinary parking requirement exceeded likely demand.
I believe there's three criteria in that section that addresses the reduction.
You're referring to in this document?
No, and 17490030, that and A, deviation from required parking spaces, that lays out the criteria to reduce by up to 10%.
And do you recall which criteria you were relying on to approve the reduction?
Well, you can it the first one, as far as the director may authorize up to 25%, but they chose 10%, and then so it'd be more or less the first criteria.
Which was what?
About the director has to, I'm a des fire staff as designee under the fires, the director may authorize a reduction of the up to 25% of the required parking.
I think it might be helpful. I'm going to just pull up the code requirement you're referring to because I'm maybe not asking this question in the best way. Give me one moment here. I'm going to see if I can screen share just the county code on the county's website here to help with this discussion. And are you seeing on your screen the code section that you referred to where it refers to deviation from required spaces?
Yes.
And do you see the language in subsection A1 that states the criteria for a reduction of up to 25%?
Yes.
Is it accurate that it states the reduction may be approved if the project proponent demonstrates that due to the unusual nature of the proposed use, it is reasonable that the parking required by the section exceeds any likely need? Or that trip demand reduction programs or public transit availability serves to further reduce demand parking. And I know you talked about transit in your earlier testimony. We'll come back to that. What part of this code provision were you relying on when you approved the reduction?
The unusual circumstances, and there is a transit component.
Okay, so both of those
Yeah.
provisions. Stop sharing. Thank you. I just wanted to pin that down. If the clerk would please pull up F28 again. And are you familiar with the bases that the applicant proposed for the reduction?
Oh, their request for
Correct.
parking and their parking analysis.
In this document, F28, they made their argument about why a parking reduction should be approved.
Yes.
And focus on this. Would the clerk please scroll down? I think I'm perhaps looking at the wrong section of this document. Here we go. So in the section right there, if we can pause where it says deviation request, do you see the last sentence in that paragraph where that starts the reduction is requested? And I'll just read the rest of it. Based on the previously approved Highland Business Park parking table, as well as the proximity of the site to transit service.
Yes, I see that.
Do you see anything about the unusual nature of a claim that the unusual nature of this hotel would justify a reduction?
Not specifically, no.
And this document doesn't refer to ITE parking generation as part of the basis for the requested
No, it
reduction, does it?
doesn't. The unusual nature would be the existing site plan that's being altered with the proposed use, I guess.
But this document doesn't say anything about the lack of a restaurant or extended stay nature of the hotel that you discussed earlier with
No, it's
Mr.
pretty
Watson.
generic. Pretty generic.
Okay. So if those other factors you discussed in your testimony today were not in this document, when did you first consider those other factors?
Well, it was based on discussions with the applicant. We discussed this at length on what I remember about the problem with far as the site and the need for a parking reduction. Far as unusual circumstances would be the existing project, how it was approved and but it doesn't state that there, but
And did you perform any calculations at that time as part of the reduction request?
well, based on the this is within a like a type one decision within a project review, I accepted what they submitted. I calculated far as the reduction and how many spaces would be required at with a 10% reduction and how many are actually indicated on the site plan.
But you didn't perform any calculations, for example, based on the ITE parking generation
No,
or.
that's outside my purview. I'm not a traffic engineer.
Okay. So you did, it sounds like you discussed this issue with the applicant orally. Is that
Yes.
correct? Who did you discuss it with?
It was the civil engineer for the project, civil engineer record.
Was that a representative of AHBL?
Yes.
Was that conversation documented anywhere?
No.
And so again, you did not consider the ITE manual in granting this reduction, is that right?
No, that wasn't offered.
Okay. But you testified today that you considered the fact that this hotel doesn't have a restaurant. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, yes.
You considered the lack of a restaurant before granting the deviation, or did that happen sometime later?
Well, we look at the use that's being proposed and make the determination. If let's say if there was a restaurant proposed, then that'd be a whole nother another issue.
How did you translate the absence of a restaurant into an expected reduction in parking demand?
Because the sole use that was under consideration was the hotel. There was
But I
no,
mean,
you can't.
how did you calculate how did you determine that
Based on
this?
rooms, based on rooms and parking and calculated parking demand based on the code.
So the math was simply just 10% reduction from what the code was required, but there wasn't any math specifically related to a restaurant.
Course not. It wasn't part of the proposal.
I mean, I should restate that. There wasn't any math related to the absence of a restaurant, arguably justifying a reduction.
No, there was not a fact. That wasn't a factor as far as a restaurant in any shape or form.
So it wasn't quantified, it was a qualitative factor that you're saying you considered.
Well, if they were proposing a restaurant, then that would be a component of the project review, and we'd calculate parking based on that restaurant. Even though it could be an ancillary use, but however, it would generate its own parking
That
demand.
makes sense. You testified today that you considered the extended stay nature of WoodSpring Suites.
Yes, based on what I knew of, based on number of questions from people, and this seemed to fit what was being proposed as an extended stay.
So help me understand your thinking. Was the logic that extended stay guests generate fewer arrivals and departures?
It's not a high frequency as far as come and go type use. Based on if it's extended stay, they're serving an adjacent government facility or a nonprofit facility. I think that was what the intent was, how I understood it.
And so the idea was you anticipated fewer vehicle trips because of the extended stay nature.
Yes.
But fewer vehicle trips and fewer parked vehicles are not necessarily the same thing, is that right?
No.
Couldn't a guest remain at the hotel for an extended period of time and leave a vehicle parked there for long periods?
That's correct, yes.
You didn't have any WoodSpring specific data showing the number of vehicles parked at peak demand as opposed to the number of trips generated, did you?
No, nothing that's cogent fires with the TIA, nothing like that, no.
So, did you have any evidence that the extended stay nature of the hotel could mean lower peak parking occupancy?
It was only based on the information generated by the applicant.
Okay, thank you. You also testified today about transit availability. Wanted to start by asking if you heard Mr. Schramm's testimony yesterday to the effect that transit is not likely to make a material difference in parking.
I did not hear that. I wasn't here.
Oh, thank you. Silly
And
question.
I
I wasn't sure if
tend
you're
to,
observing, I guess.
yeah, I don't know if I agree with that statement either.
Did you quantify how many hotel guests or employees would be expected to use transit?
No.
So there was no calculation involved in this
No, it's
transit
the options
consideration.
on the table, and the human natures sometimes find the least impact.
The applicant didn't provide any evidence about transit use at other WoodSpring hotels or other extended stay hotels.
No.
And so
In some
transit,
cases,
oh,
we, yeah,
please.
in some cases, staff would ask for something like that.
And so again, transit was not a quantified factor, but a qualitative consideration.
Yeah, that'd be a fair statement.
Do you recall in the permit notes, we can look at the document if that would help, but do you recall documenting objections about whether the applicant had the necessary cross parcel rights that the circulation plan depended on?
Yes, I do remember that.
And do you remember requiring the applicant to demonstrate full legal access for customers, employees, service providers, and other users?
Yes, that's correct.
And do you remember indicating there were two ways the applicant could do that, either a court order or decree defining the easement rights or an easement agreement signed by the affected parties?
Yes, I remember that.
And the applicant didn't ever provide a court order or decree, correct?
No, They provided other documentation through the recorded documents with the Kitsap County Auditor.
Do you recall when you received the reviewed, received and reviewed the CCNRs?
I think it was February of this year, I believe. I can't. I'd have to look at the date. I assume that they were comments made on that when those were received.
Then again, the document, is it fair to say the document states that the county relied on the applicant's assurances about it, the easement rights?
Yes.
You didn't obtain an independent legal opinion or title opinion, did you?
No. We're operating on good faith that they were submitting documents that were legally acceptable.
I want to talk a little bit about the SDAP acceptance letter. I don't think we'll need to pull it up, at least not yet. That's Exhibit F42, just for reference. You completed the planning review before the acceptance letter was issued. Is that correct?
That's how it should have worked, yeah.
And when you issued that document, did that mean that that DCD considered the information request about circulation to have been satisfied?
Based on what information we had at the time, yes. And based on input from Mr. Hankin, I talked to him about that.
And does the acceptance letter itself identify the analysis that DCD relied on for the conclusion that the county code requirements were satisfied?
We do have general statements, I believe, in the acceptance letter. But if you're looking for something specific related to this project, I don't believe that information was conveyed.
Just a few more questions here. As part of the CEPA review or the SDAP review, did DCD evaluate temporary transportation effects during construction?
I couldn't tell you if that was addressed or not through civil review and or the public works review.
Okay. Thanks very much for your time. I don't have any more questions.
Okay, thank you.
All right, is there any additional cross-examination?
Yes, we have a couple more questions, please.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Raymond.
Thank you. Hi, Mr. Smith. I'm Megan Raymond, representing Anchor Health, which is another one of the tenants in the business park and the co-appellant here. Thank you for your time. I hope this goes somewhat quickly because I know you've been on for a while. I'd like to speak, I think, first about the revised DNS. And my colleague, Mr. Nelson, is going to pull up documents as relevant to give Ms. Jones a break. This would be F29. As he's pulling that up, Mr. Smith, I know you weren't here yesterday, but did you hear Mr. Szczepanski's testimony today that the county seems to have referenced but didn't rely solely on the 2005 SEPA documents for the business park?
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay. Does that comport with your understanding of the process?
Well, it was we took it all under consideration when we were going through and making our analysis.
Okay. And he also testified he wasn't sure what the, this is issued as a revised DNS, and he didn't know what that revised was in reference to. Why is this a revised DNS? And I guess the
I think I stated earlier is because there's a DNS approved or issued on this project. It was approved for the overall land use project. We are dealing with one lot within that. that land use project and
Okay.
analyzing potential impacts related to that hotel on
Okay,
that subject property. So it's revised.
is it fair to say that the 2005 DNS was the original DNS? This is the revised DNS.
It's revision to the 2005 DNS and providing background and more of a nexus between what is being considered and what the changes are.
Sure. Thank you. You testified that the county intended to, it sounds like not adopt, but incorporate the previous 2005 environmental review documents in this updated review, CEPA review process. Is
Yeah, that's like I said, that was the intent to incorporate that in such a manner.
Okay.
Because if you look at what the 2005 said, then it was pretty simple.
Okay. Are you familiar with the requirements under state and local law for use of existing environmental review documents, including when the process for incorporation by reference? And I can have Mr. Nelson bring up that code provision if that would be helpful. Okay, so that's Washington Administrative Code 197.11.6. 100, and then 600 is the general kind of like when things can when you can rely on a existing document, and then this is 635 specifically for incorporation by reference. Do
We
you
normally do that during an MD&S where we do incorporate those, where you do make that's a document or record. We do reference those. For a DNS, that's different.
Can you explain that to me? Because I'm not sure I understand that distinction. You're saying so this process for incorporation by reference.
It's an abbreviated process. That's how we look at it. It's an abbreviated process.
So just to clarify, and I don't know if there's a way to make this bigger on the screen because I know it's showing up kind of skinny, but do you see that subsection two where it says, oh, there we go. Thanks, Ken. Material incorporated by reference shall be cited, its location identified, and its relevant content described. So that's subsection 2A, and then subsection 2B shall be made available for public review during applicable comment periods. Are you familiar with those requirements? Okay. In your opinion, or I guess based off of, conducting this review, were those previous 2005 materials cited, location identified, and relevant content briefly described for this updated 2025 CEPA process? And I guess the
No,
question would
I
be.
don't, well, no, I don't think so, but I think the property owners within the plat, at least, or the, not the plat, but the project had access to those because they showed me those documents when I talked to them. But
Okay.
otherwise, no, there wasn't a direct, they weren't directly identified.
Okay. And are you aware of whether those documents were made available for public review during the applicable comment periods?
If what we do is we do a PDR request, they can re anybody can request those, and
Okay.
then we will deliver those documents when it's within a reasonable period of time.
Okay, I'd like to switch to F18, please. So this is the notice of application for this project. Did this notice of application reference those 2005 documents anywhere, to your knowledge?
Not specifically.
Okay. Was there any public notice that those documents would be relied on as you were reviewing this 2025 project?
Not with this optional DNS notice of application. I don't believe we say you can request environmental documents.
Okay. The notice of application, Ken, if you'd scroll down to page 3, I think it states, there we go, just at the bottom. It states that the staff report will be available for review 3 days after the final combined staff report and decision are issued. And Mr. Hankins, you weren't I know you weren't observing. I think this was Monday at this point, but Mr. Hankins noted that he believed a staff report was created for the SDAP acceptance letter. Is that the case? Was a staff report created for this project?
The SDAP is acceptance letter is the staff report.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I want to talk a little bit more, just following up on Mr. Green's questions regarding the basis for the parking reduction. I think so. Our understanding, kind of getting familiar with this code, county code, has been there seem to be two paths for a parking reduction, one being this discretionary reduction path, and then the other, and maybe this isn't, maybe you don't think about these as two separate, but that's been helpful in our mind. The other would be whether if a project intends to rely on a joint parking agreement to satisfy its parking requirements. Are you familiar with those requirements as to when a joint parking agreement can be used to satisfy parking
Oh,
demand?
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I've, that's,
did that
yes.
that I believe is County Code 17490020 it's C, and then it also references subpart I. Did that factor in? If you want, we can pull that up on the screen. I don't think I have detailed questions about it, but did that factor into your analysis here as to the satisfaction of parking requirements, whether there was a joint parking agreement that was being relied on?
That was a factor.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit more about that, the role that it played in the approval
Well,
here?
this was part, this was a component of the original project to have, based on how the project was laid out, to have a reciprocal parking agreement between the different property owners within this project. And to let the projects or uses having different peak hours of operation would cause far as some uses to not have the need for parking demand, more intensive uses could use those same spaces.
Okay, so that did, and I'm that so that did factor into the reduction here. In addition, is this sort of like in addition to the other bases you were discussing with Mr. Green regarding the unusual nature of the use and availability of transit?
Yeah, that was one of the things I was considering
Okay.
as well as transit.
Okay, in that case, I am going to ask Mr. Nelson to bring up that code section. So that's 17490020C, please.
Just one moment. I'm pulling
Thank
up
you.
right now. 1749. Okay, sharing now. You see that?
Yeah, now we can.
Perfect. Yep,
Okay.
perfect.
So, Ken, do you mind zooming in on subsection C of 49's
Yeah, I'm gonna try to.
Thank you. All right. So this subsection C is what we're talking about. I want to point your attention to a couple things and just understand how the county thought through these. So excuse me, that first sentence. It says The off-street parking requirements of two or more uses may be satisfied by the same parking or loading space jointly if approved by the director. And this is the part I want to ask you about. To the extent that it can be shown by the owners or operators of the use, structures, or parcel that their operations and parking needs do not overlap in point of time. Did the applicant provide information demonstrating that the hotel's parking needs would not overlap in point of time with the neighboring owner's needs of the spaces?
Not that I remember, but granted, this overall parking arrangement was set in stone, so to speak, back in around 2005, 2006, with the
Okay.
approval of the SDAP for this project by Mr. Rucker.
Okay. So in this subsequent review for the hotel project, did the county evaluate whether the hotel parking demand would overlap with neighboring business uses?
There was some consideration of that, but there was no empirical analysis
Okay.
as far as the quantity, or there were some spaces I think identified where there would be some overlap
Okay.
on the site plan, civil site plan.
Thank you. I'd like to scroll down to subsection I, please. Okay, so subsection C says that a joint parking agreement has to exist that complies with subsection I. This, I think, was added to the county code, subsequent to when the original project was approved. So this requires a couple different has a couple different standards as to when a joint parking agreement can be relied upon for to satisfy parking needs. Did the county evaluate these requirements against some joint parking agreement for this project? And just to clarify, what was that joint parking agreement?
Well, we did not evaluate against in another agreement or with these criteria, because that was these this agreement was recorded and or approved and recorded way before these were in the Kitsap County Code. If you check those adoption dates down below, that kind of lays out that this agreement was established prior to those adoption dates, based on those ordinances.
Okay. And just to clarify, when you're talking about the agreement, are you talking about the CC&Rs for the business park?
Yes.
Okay. So the analysis that the county did here was that the CC&Rs comply satisfy this joint parking agreement requirement at the time it was approved in 2005, and so there was no further analysis done as to whether the CC&Rs would satisfy these updated code requirements. Is that
Well,
right?
it was based on our opinion. Based on the information we had at the time, this would satisfy that requirement.
Okay.
And if the applicant, if it was proven otherwise, but based, like I was saying earlier, Mr. Duncan, is that it was a good faith effort. They presented information and we said, okay, well, that appears to meet those requirements.
Okay, so I just want to one specific requirement here. I think it's not in the subs, not in the little A through E, but in 1I itself. The let's see, this is a really long sentence, but the end of the sentence, and actually, yeah, Ken, do you mind highlighting that section? So the end of that sentence says that the parking agreement cannot be modified or revoked without the approval of the director. Did the county evaluate whether the CC&Rs may be modified or revoked without approval of the director?
No, we did not consider modification.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. I'm almost done. I just want to get through a couple more questions. Okay. So I can pull up F28 if needed, but I guess I'm not going to spend much time on it. The point would just be if you remember that this was the AH, well, actually, sure. Ken, do you mind bringing that up really quickly?
Yep, pulling it up now.
28.
All right, thanks. So this is the deviation, parking deviation request here. The stated basis is,
Oops.
thank you, on the previously approved business parking table in proximity of the site to the transit service. I think you and Mr. Green talked quite a bit through the transit service piece of this, so I won't harp on that, but I wanted to talk more about the approved business park parking table. So are you familiar with the parking table they're referencing and the source of that? And I don't mean to hide the ball. Ken, if you actually scroll
Yeah.
up a little bit, so I think that this is the parking table they're talking.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out where this parking is. I guess do you know the source of this parking table?
I believe it's in the staff report.
Okay. I have seen a version of this in a couple different places, and I'm trying to understand from the county's perspective, what the approved parking table is. My understanding is this comes from the site plan. So we might talk through a couple different documents that seem to all center on this parking table. So I think the first option would be let's see, F26. So Ken will pull that up. All right, so I think
There it
this,
is.
yeah, okay, so
I see it.
this, do you see that now?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so this is a site plan. This was in the county's record. Is this, as far as you are understand, is this the site plan that was approved by the county for the Highland Business Park in 2005?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't see here, would the county normally have some sort of stamp that this was approved or accepted as part of its review? Because I don't see that here.
No, back in that during that time period, we would not stamp, unfortunately.
Okay.
It was the current practice is to stamp those.
Okay. Then I would ask that we bring up, let's see, B15. So this was submitted by the applicant as part of their exhibits, also noted as the site plan. It's marked as preliminary, and if you scroll down to the second page, Mr. Smith, can you take a closer look at that parking table? And we can go back and forth, but does this look, is this identical or different than the parking table we just looked at?
I'd have to compare them side by side.
Okay.
But,
Let's just look at actually the a couple just the total parking provided. It says 478 here. And if Mr. Nelson will switch back to the other version. All right. So do you
so
see the
sometimes, even in that period of time, there's quality control too on how things are displayed.
Okay.
And it's sometimes we catch it back then or now, if there's a deviation or discrepancy.
Okay. So the applicant's exhibit was 478. Here, do you see the total parking
Yeah.
provided number?
Yeah, I see that.
Okay, can you read that, please?
421.
Okay. And then I think the last version, well, the next document I'd want to pull up would be C46. And so finding 12. So it notes as previously found, the site plan shows 477 parking stalls. Does this number align with the number that you saw in the county's exhibit of what is purported to be the final site plan, which I believe is the same as the parking table included in the AUD
Yeah,
memo?
there is a difference.
Okay.
As previously found, the site plan shows 477.
Yeah. Can you explain to me why that part feels significant?
Well, it's because sometimes the numbers are not they're not correctly notated, and or they show different numbers because they're not being proofed by the engineer of record or staff at that time.
Okay. In that case, I might ask that we pull up one more document, which is C50. And this is a staff report, and Ms. Examiner, I believe that throughout Mr. Wachter and Green's testimonies, these have been admitted, these C documents. But I just would just ask that we double check that, if not. So
Not all of the C documents, but I think is this C50?
46, I think we already looked at, and then C50.
Yeah, so those are both admitted, yes.
Okay, thank you. So if we go to page 4, please. All right, so if you can see, so can you see at the bottom that second to last paragraph? Can you re
Yes.
read that first sentence of what it proposed, the proposed parking?
Yeah, proposed provides the 477 off-street parking stalls, including 20 accessible with adequately meets the parking requirements, 17,435.
Okay, so I think sorry to make this painstaking, but I think we've kind of identified an issue here that the parking table the applicant relies on that seems to have some relevance in their analysis, having that 421 total spaces, is different than the total referenced, at least in the staff report and the hearing examiner's approval.
Can
And
I
I
ask a
guess,
question?
please.
Yes. How is this relevant to what being considered today, as
Yeah.
far as the number of parking spaces versus the number of, as far as access across the credit union property?
Good question. Our opinion is these numbers probably are not relevant at all. The parking numbers are not relevant at all. I think what is relevant is trying to clarify whether there is a final version of the site plan as approved from 2005 in the county's record. I don't believe that there is, unless you are aware of some final approved site plan, in one of
It'd
these
be
documents
the
or elsewhere.
probably the civil engineering plan would be the last, would show the correct parking numbers.
Is that one of the documents we just went through and looked at?
I don't think you have. They might be we have a 60% design and then we have 100% design. That would be the site general activity permit, and that has a different project number. And I don't think I've seen anything later than the 2005 approval.
Okay. So when we talk about vesting to some 2005 site plan, there have been two versions of that site plan, one submitted by the county, one submitted by applicant, that seem to be intended to be final. I think you're saying that neither of those is the final approved site plan. Is that right?
Well, yeah, as far as the civil engineering plan is the ult or is the what they're approved for their site design is the ultimate number.
Okay, and is that something that would have been available before the hearing examiner's
Oh, yeah,
approval?
we can if a citizen wants to request a copy of that document, we can provide that.
Okay, I get. Sorry, I should clarify. It would the hearing examiner at that time in 2005 have been looking at that final, what you're saying is that this
No,
final site
because
plan?
there he the hearing examiner's Mr. Casso was looking at a different document. He's looking at a preliminary site plan.
Okay. Thank you for going through all that. I think those are all of my questions.
Okay, I think that concludes cross. If Mr. Walker, did you have anything? Or
Yeah,
actually,
no.
wait, I'm sorry. So I guess we would go back then to Mr. Walker and Mr. Cartman on whether you all have additional questions for Mr. Smith.
At this moment, I don't have additional questions. Mr.
Okay.
Cartman might bring up something to trigger more questions.
Okay. Mr. Cartman, do you have anything additional?
I do. And I guess just in reference to the questions that Ms. Raymond was just asking, I'm going to share this is exhibit C 64. If you, I think I'm sharing too much of my screen, sorry. Exhibit C64. Are you seeing that, Mr. Smith?
Yes.
And is this a site plan of the business park as we've been talking about?
Yes.
And do you see in the bottom right corner that there is a stamp that says accepted for construction by Kitsap County?
Yes.
And you see in the top left, am I still on the same page? Sorry, I am on page 15 of exhibit C64, that there is a parking table with some revisions noted there.
Yes, I see that.
And do you see that in the line for retail? It says minimum parking stalls 117 and surface parking provided 94.
Yes. Yes, I see that.
And that the total parking provided according to this table is 471.
Yes.
I would, I guess, request admission of this exhibit C64.
Any objection to the admission of C64?
Nope,
C64,
no
I'm
objection.
sorry?
Yeah, no objection. Thank you.
Yep, C64 is admitted.
Thank you. That well, I guess Mr. Smith, I think Mr. Green was asking you some about the some questions about the process of issuing the SDAP acceptance letter, and I know you weren't in attendance at the hearing on Monday, but there was also some discussion of that procedural step and its association with CEPA review and any future permitting steps that are required. Would you mind, I guess, just saying again what the role of the acceptance letter is in that process, since that's one of the appealable decisions that we're discussing today?
Yeah, so we would issue the notice of application, do the project review. We would review documentation, issue a CEPA determination, and that should occur prior to the acceptance letter going out. And there's some, it's either that's the acceptance letter is created or we have the pre-construction meeting, which becomes it becomes really official, but that's how it works. I know it's in a nutshell.
Yep, and I think, and I'm happy to bring it up if it would help the acceptance letter. Actually, I will, since I'm going to refer to what it says. The acceptance letter is exhibit F 42. And I am sharing that now. And I just wanted to ask you about the statement that in the middle of page one, exhibit F42, we have reviewed and accept for construction the site plans. Staff have found the proposed site improvements to be generally consistent with Kitsap County code. What review is that referring to? What went into that determination of acceptance of the site plans and general consistency with the code?
Yeah, it would be a review of Title 17, Title 14, and Title 12, which relate to fire, stormwater, traffic, zoning, so forth. It is a Type 2 decision, which is an appealable action. And that would be the more or less, this is the staff report.
Was that determination also based on some of the information that the county would have received during the SEPA process?
Yes, it would be some that would be incorporated.
And there was also Mr. Hankins was talking about some additional review, some additional, I think, during the pre-construction meeting, conditions that could be placed on construction of the project. And as this decision notes at page three, there will also be a subsequent building permit required here. Could you talk about the information that would be looked at in the future under those processes?
Well, the building permit site plan has to be consistent with the civil site plan, and that would be reviewed with those components identified in the civil site plan with the building permit. So everything should be internally and consistent between the two permit processes.
And I think, you got some questions about going back to the statement on page one, the statement of consistency with the code. I think you agreed with Mr. Green that those specific code requirements are not listed in this acceptance letter. Is that right?
Yes.
And your testimony, I think, as you've just said, is that review is incorporated here and includes what the county previously looked at in the SEPA process and otherwise.
That's correct.
Thank you. Those are all my questions.
Any recross? Okay, I think that's all the questions for you today, Mr. Smith. So thank you for your appearance and testimony this morning. Was Mr. Smith the last witness today, or do we have any additional? I know there was a mention that there might be an additional witness and possibly a rebuttal witness. So,
So for the county, that would be the last of our witnesses.
okay. So then I guess the next question would be if there are any rebuttal witnesses.
Ms. Examiner, we are planning on recalling Ms. Herzstein as a rebuttal witness.
Okay, I'm sorry, could you repeat that name? I didn't quite catch it.
Stephanie Herzstein.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So I guess question for you all, it is 12:19. We can go ahead and take a break and then reconvene for what is probably the last witness. Or we it seems to me it might make sense to take a break for lunch, but parties have an opinion on that? I'm seeing a nod from the clerk, but
The clerk would like to take a lunch break.
okay, well that kind of answers the question. Would the parties like to take a full hour today? That would kind of be standard. I know we've shortened things a bit, but
The clerk would like a full hour if
yep.
nobody else does.
Yeah. Okay, the clerk's
We
getting a
defer
full
to the
hour, so
clerk.
that applies to everyone. So, any procedural questions before we adjourn for lunch? Nope. Okay. It is 12:20. We will reconvene at 1:20.
Thank you.
Yep.